Heavenly Father, please thank you for this journey we're about to go on and the people we will meet along the way. I am Daisha, and I thank you so much for listening to the past year and I guess I can say season one of Traveling Grace and Mercy, where I interview my close friends and circles about their travel histories, how we met, but mostly to encourage those people who are apprehensive about traveling or becoming expats to go ahead and live their best life. On this amazing, wonderful, wonderful season finale, I am sitting with the man, my right hand, in it to win it, the shuck to my jive, the... First off, happy birthday. It's his birthday. We are literally sitting in LA recording this, which is a little bit different because I usually like to record in a quiet atmosphere, you know, give y'all your half an hour interview. We are here on top of the standard, sitting at the pool. You can listen to the ambiance and the voices in the background. But me and this man have come a long way. And I'm just happy to have you as my finale guest, because I know how you like to remain incognito.
That's right, yeah.
You like to remain incognito. You don't want to be on nobody's album cover. So I'm happy that you have blessed me. But I'm telling you, I usually introduce the show and I give a rundown of my history. Like, born in Harrisburg, PA, went to Tokyo this year, went to Philly here, graduated from Temple, all that kind of stuff. What matters today is that I moved back from Japan after living there for 9 years, summer of 2015. It is going on 3 years later. No, I can't add. Four. 4 years! Four years! And I miss you dearly. This man right here, player, partner, just DJ, event, holding my life together, my string of a life, just making sure I didn't get murdered in the streets of Shibuya by cars, because you know I can't walk straight. I mean, we're going to go through an introduction before I even get to his traveling story, because he has an amazing path of destinations he's not even going to remember because he's been so many places around the world. But I don't even know how to introduce you, except for I love you so much. Some of y'all know him as DJ MMFM. Mike motherfreaking Malcolm, for those of y'all that don't know. Y'all ain't going to find him on no album covers.
That's right.
Yeah. No mixtapes.
That's right. That's right.
But we will see you on all the flyers because she... But this is Traveling Grace and Mercy, and I have to know about your background, but do you remember how we met?
I know that we met in Utsunomiya. I was coming from a party, Masters at Work, in Roppongi, and I was taking the morning train back, and I seen this Indian girl, and I didn't think nothing about it until...
No, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. It's morning in Utsunomiya.
Yeah, early morning.
Utsunomiya is the capital of the state of Tochigi Prefecture, which borders, it does border Tokyo on some direction. Yeah. I don't know, northwest, some whatever. That is where I went to live and teach when I first went over to Japan. Tochigi is countryside. And you do pass some foreigners here or there. I don't know where I was coming back from, but I was going past Utsunomiya to Nishinasano, which is where I lived, and you were going home to
Yaita,
which is a few stops before my little town. So Utsunomiya is this huge hub. The bullet train comes there. Like, it's a really big, really big train station. I'm in a packed train. I have a seat in the train. I look out the window.
Don't mind what's the next
foreigner. There's that. I look out the window and I see like four train platforms over, you are standing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a black dude over there. Now, something specific about us traveling. We know who black Americans are versus black men of the diaspora. I don't know what it is, but we just know. I looked out the window, I seen you, and I knew who you were.
Yeah, but
you see me.
See, you were in a hat. You were too far away, and I can't see because my eyes is just...
And yeah. So I'm an Indian woman to him on the train, yeah. Which also many Japanese people think I'm Indian because they don't know what to do with light-skinned black people. They're just like, are you Spanish? And like, they don't know anything about our history. So I close my eyes because the train didn't take off yet. Open it again because we were about to leave. You went from being... four train platforms away out the window to standing in my train car.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
I look up and I'm like, oh, that's a black dude from out the platform. He's now in my train car.
Yeah.
And do you remember that?
Yeah, well, I remember saying, oh, where'd that Indian girl come from? I just seen her.
Meanwhile, I'm the Indian girl.
When you spoke, I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, see, that's the thing. I kept trying to get your attention so I can do the universal Negro head nod.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You weren't looking my direction.
Well, I was out of it because I ain't had no sleep.
See?
Couldn't see nothing.
See?
I was jacked up.
You weren't looking my direction, and when you finally did, I gave you the hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What up?
Yeah, and that's like, oh,
that's
wow.
When you knew I was
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how you made your way towards me, because you were kind of a few people away. It was crowded.
Yeah, well, you said nobody sit next to you. You said, yeah, come sit here. I'm like, all right. Yeah.
I invited
you. Yeah, exactly.
Look at there. Look, see, that's me. Yeah. Come on, brother man. Come sit by me.
Yeah, and that's going to be your downfall, too.
see, all the wisdom right here. That's going to be my downfall. Brother man, come sit right here.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't trust them new niggas.
Can't trust
them. Yeah.
I specifically remember us having a conversation about the Krispy Kreme opening. You told me there was a Krispy Kreme that was going to open in Shinjuku.
Man. Well, we talked about... Well, first, I was telling you where I was coming from, the Masters at Work. And you was like, oh, what's that? And then I had to break down the club scene, the house club scene, and all that. And then from there, we went on to food, to Krispy Kremes, and a bunch of other stuff. So I was like, wow, this girl don't know nothing. She's just like new, like a newborn. So I see I'm going to have to take her under my wing.
Mm-mm.
And teach her. Just all laid out like a newborn and shit.
Oh my gosh. Clearly I was coming from somewhere. Not in your circles. I used to run to Tokyo to hang in the hip hop circle.
Yeah, see that's
not the house.
Yeah, that's why, yeah. And that's why it's probably why we never met before. Because I don't do none of that shit.
So this is the beginning. Us. This was 2000. I want to say 7, because I was there.
No,
I got there in Tochi 06. I only stayed for 2 years, so I had to have met you. I think after my first year being there. From then, you would drive to my town because we had cars up there in the countryside. So you would drive to my town, and we would hang out every now and then. And that is how we became friends. And then I moved to Tokyo 2008. You've been in and out of Japan.
Yeah. So. I think I left first. Didn't you leave too?
I feel like you left first.
I
never left until I was gone.
Okay, yeah. So I left first for about a year.
Yeah.
Because it's my mom's birth, I want to say 60, 65. I don't remember. It's all a big blur. But I know one of them years, when I knew she was getting up there, I had to go back home just to spend some time with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent maybe about 9 months, and then I was out. Couldn't take it no more. Cleveland is the city that'll claim you. Yeah, so... By the time wintertime came around, I just dipped on out.
How many years total did you spend in Japan?
Maybe it's going on 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah, still there. Got 15 it. Yeah,
years.
Got 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
On and off. By way of LA, by way of Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah. And, And then Japan. And now, are we doing recent history now?
We're going to get to that. Right. Go ahead, give us the overview.
And now Singapore and Malaysia. So now it's turning out to be 4 months in Singapore and Malaysia, 6 months in Tokyo, and 2 months either in America or just traveling around. So
let's talk about how we got here with this man. So this is Traveling Grace and Mercy. And as I ask everyone, have you ever heard that phrase, and what does it mean to you?
Never heard of it before.
Never heard of it.
Nah, I assume it's some like... prayer or some shit because of her.
Yes, I told you. I thought it was some Christian related blessing that's not in the Bible. We don't know the origins yet, but that is correct. That is correct. What about your parents? Do they tell you anything when you leave? Say, bye.
They don't even know I'm gone.
They don't know you're going. They just wake up one morning.
They don't even notice. I just come in, come and go as I please.
How did you get to this point where you are a man who comes and goes as he pleases? literally all over the world. I mean, unafraid isn't even, how do you begin? Where did this start, you being able to just get up and go from home?
Just pure ignorance. Yeah, I just...
Being from Cleveland?
Yeah. No, for real, my pops used to take me everywhere. Me and my sister, he'd just take us on trips. Even before my sister was born, he'd take us everywhere. Road trips, flying. Yeah, he's a big traveler. We drove from one time from Cleveland to Florida to Disney World, actually. I can't remember. This may have been before my sister was born. But it was definitely when McDonald's started doing the Happy Meals. Because by the time we traveled from Cleveland to Orlando, the whole backseat was just full of Happy Meal boxes.
So it is his birthday, cancer season. Hello. We're not going to tell you how old he is, but he's aging himself by letting you know he was there when Happy Meals first started appearing.
Yeah, yeah.
When I came onto the earth, Happy Meals were already here.
They were already thing. Yeah.
But that was in the prime.
Yeah.
They were the prime of the height of what they were going to be. But you were here before they were here.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. Probably when you was on this planet, it was at the apex.
Yes,
the Happy Meals was, yeah. Yeah.
And you can still find those original Happy Meal toys in Japan in the collector shops in Shimoki Dazawa.
Yeah.
I seen them and I almost broke down crying because it was too much. The nostalgia was too strong. But that's where it started with your family. So your father was a traveler. You were doing road trips. What was on the first plane? Like,
that was to California. That was a... to Sacramento, because he had family in Sacramento. So, first plane trip was, I want to say I was 10, 11, I don't remember. I know I was scared, but the thing was, he was big into music, and we'd always hit the record stores. Well, he hit the record stores without me. He had this big record collection. But then he'd give me allowance, and then I could go to the record store on my own. And he let me buy like two records before I got on the plane. And the records I bought was Public Enemy, the, not Fear of a Black Planet, the one before that one. What was that? With the Terminator X speaks with his hands. What was that one? Oh, I can't remember. But the one before Fear of a Black Planet, the second album, that I bought that one, and it was something else. I can't remember. But them two albums got me on through the plane ride because I listened to them religiously back and forth, side A, side B. Yeah.
I love this, how your father was such an influence. I didn't know that also led to your DJing, which is how you and I connect and got together. So now I want to meet your dad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, but I met him.
Well,
I've been to Cleveland, and he didn't come to Japan that I know of.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you met my mama, right? You met my mama?
Did she come to Japan?
No, I guess not.
Then I ain't been to Cleveland.
Seem like you met her.
We've known each other for over 10 years now.
We don't have to change that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
They love your ass. Yeah.
I love them already because I definitely love your sister. Met sister, that is my sister. Yeah. Love her to death. So you did all this traveling. What happened when you became, you know, a man, college age? Where... did that propel you to go anywhere else?
I didn't even want to go to college. My mom made me do that shit. I wanted to be a garbage man. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a garbage man. Yeah, yeah.
All that traveling, you like, I'm staying in Cleveland to do y'all garbage.
My dream, my aspiration was to stay at home with my mom. That was it. I was a straight mama's boy. I wanted to stay at home, be a garbage man, because I heard they make $30,000 a year. I was like, oh, that's cool. But my mom was like, no, you got to go to college. I'm like, yeah. And I didn't even apply to college. She was like, you gotta go. And the one you're gonna go to is gonna be in-state, Ohio State. And this was back when Ohio State was just taking anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to take a test or anything. Like, I took the SAT. I think I scored 0 on it, whatever the lowest score. the score you give just for writing your name, they give you like points for that. That's what I got. So, yeah. But once I got to Ohio State, man, that was it. Once I got that first taste of being away from home, that was it, yeah.
And all downhill from there?
Yeah, that was it. I never went back home again.
Did you do any study abroad or no?
No, uh-uh. I mean, I met some, I had thought about, like, teaching overseas, like, for the JET program.
Mm-hmm.
So I started tutoring, like, Japanese students. So that's where I, like, got the bug. But never did it just because, you know, my grandfather was getting old. And I didn't want to, you know, leave him or anything like that. And plus, I was never really studious anyway. And then
speak your truth.
Yeah. Then I graduated. Like, my grandfather, he got, like, cancer. He pulled through, but that made me get serious about school, because all he talked about was graduating, get your education, aww, and all that. So did that. And then, yeah, I didn't know what to do next after that. They don't tell you what to do once you graduate, what happens next.
Sure.
Yeah. But got a job working in, I think I was working in Columbus first and working in Ohio, some bullshit-ass job, working for a newspaper. And then it was like the winter where, I want to say it was the winter of 94, 95.
Was it the blizzard?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it was one of the blizzard 95?
Yeah, it was the killer.
See.
It was just killing everybody. Just okay. Like the Game of Thrones type of winter. When they talk about winter is coming, yeah, that's the one that came. It came all over Cleveland.
The White Walkers.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-mm. Man, I just went nuts. I couldn't take it no more. And I was looking at the news, and it said that it was like 80, 90 degrees in Arizona, but negative degrees in Cleveland. I was like, what the hell? How is that even possible? Next thing I knew, I was on a bus one way to Arizona. Didn't pack nothing but a box of...
what were you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know what I was planning.
So that was the first time you were just out with no plan, like, I'm gone.
My uncle was working for Greyhound. He got me a discount ticket all the way there, one way. I ain't had no money. I had $40. And my boy Brian, he gave me, like, 40 more bucks. So I had $80 and a credit card and a bag of, like, dirty laundry and some soap powder. Anything I could pack that I knew I wouldn't have to buy when I got there. Once I got there, I was officially homeless. That was it. And found this cheap hotel in Tucson, Arizona. That's where I ended up at. And the hotel was called, what was the name of it? I can't remember.
Hotel.
But it was, I don't know. But it was, the Congress Hotel. Hotel Congress. And the good thing about Hotel Congress, it was right across from the Greyhound station. So that's how I found it. Because they was playing this club music. Because at the bottom of the club was the Club Congress. And once I got there, that's where I learned about what a hostel was. Because that's what the hotel was. It was a hostel. I was like, oh, yeah, you can stay here $10 a night. I was like, cool. And we'll just put someone in the room with you. So they put me in the room with the sweetest DJ.
Oh, my God.
And that was it. Went from there, from that point on, I was into house music anyway. But from that point on, and I, like... DJed a little bit before just from being at OSU. But from that point on, that was it. He taught me all about house music and the equipment he was using, and he was playing in the club that night. Some Swedish dude, I can't remember his name for nothing, but he gave me some records, and I gave him this book I was reading called Soul on Ice. And that was it. And we would hit the club like every Monday night. They did like different nights. They do like different type of music, but Monday nights was house and disco, and then like the other nights was like 80s or hard rock, something like that. But Monday nights we would go, we would kick it. Tucson was warm all year long anyway, and eventually the money started running out, because I only had like $80, so that means I could stay there for like 8 nights. And then I was walking around on the University of Arizona campus, just hanging out, you know. I had graduated in journalism, so I just kind of wandered into the journalism department just to kind of maybe look for a job on the job board or something. Found this old dude there named Professor Mangelsdorf, and he was like, hey, and just started having a conversation because it was summertime, and it was during break, it was a winter break, and none of the students were there. He was just there kind of hanging out, maybe grading tests or doing whatever they was doing. And we just started talking. He was like, hey, you know, we're going to be shutting down our journalism program soon, because they're going to restructure it to get a qualification or academic something. And he was like, I could probably get you in if you want to go back to school. You know, we'll get financial aid. We'll pay for it. Get your scholarship. I'm like, all right, cool. And he, true to his word, he did. He said all you had to do was take the GRE. Doesn't matter what your score is, we'll get you in. So the same thing that happened at Ohio State. They just got me in the journalism program, and from then on, you know, I didn't plan on finishing anything. It's just something to do. You know, I had some financial aid, I had some money coming in, I was able to get an apartment.
Did you
and everything.
Finish your degree there?
Well, the thing was, Professor Mangelsdorf, he passed away. He had cancer. He didn't tell me that. So I came back from a break, not planning on finishing anything. I was just there just bullshitting, just hollering at girls. You know, just tearing my way through campus.
Same thing you do now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But he got sick, he passed away. And I was like, well, I got to finish. Because the last thing he did was he said, he told one of the administrators there, make sure this kid graduates. So, like, put the guilt trip on me from the grave. So I was like, all right, I got to finish it. So I did. And I got a job working at a bunch of newspapers, and everything worked out. And,
I can't believe that. Knowing your life now, I never knew this. You never told me this story about you going. But I see it. This is literally the path. Like, I see what has happened and where you are now just because of that moment and that bus trip and going to Arizona. That is amazing. That is your trajectory. Well, briefly tell us, how did you end up in L.A.? Because I know that's a part, like, that's where you told me that you were from when I met you. Because that was the last place you were before you came to Japan, right? So how did you end up in L.A. after getting your education?
I got recruited to work at the L.A. Times. First they had me in Orange County, covering Orange County. And then they moved me. No, you know what? I was working at the LA Times in Orange County, but I wasn't making enough money. So I ended up working another job. I was working at Walmart at night, doing LA Times in the daytime. And I was just working on zero sleep. And eventually, I was just getting tired of it. And the editor, he was a dick anyway. And he ended up beating up one of the other reporters, because we all, like, came into, like, the same class. And I don't know what happened, because I had quit, like, just the day before. And I heard the story secondhand, like, the next day. One of the other reporters, real nice guy, the editor just ended up beating his ass for some reason. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, that was pretty much the end of my LA Times career. And from there, what did I end up doing after that?
Were you still DJing in LA?
No, uh-uh.
How did you end up getting to Japan, then?
Well, here's the thing. When I was working at the LA Times, I was covering government and education. So I ended up meeting, like, a lot of teachers just from writing stories. And I had heard that back at that time, and I know they don't do this shit now, but if you were a California resident, you could get free schooling at any of the city colleges around town. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll try that, you know. So I ended up at LACC, the Los Angeles City College, which is...
You've had a lot of free education.
I know, right? For someone who didn't want to go, right? But it was all free, yeah. So I ended up going to LACC, and they had, like, this cinema program. I'm like, hey, free cinema school, why not? You know, I'll try it. And from there, I checked their job board, and I got a job working at an advertising agency, writing copy for the back of DVD boxes and VHS boxes and stuff like that. So I was doing school and that at the same time, making good money, doing all right. And one of the classes, I met this Japanese dude, Yoshi. And me and Yoshi, we got real cool real fast. And he was already engaged, but he was getting married. And he invited me to his wedding in Tokyo. Oh, and that's pretty much how I got it. That was the first place I ever visited overseas, international, besides Canada and Mexico. And once I got to Tokyo, man, me and Yoshi kicked it hard. And he was like, yo, you know, you really like the place. You really want to make some decent money. I can get your job teaching here. I'm like, all right, cool. So that's what he did. He got me a job teaching in his hometown.
So you were already there when you got the job teaching and had the visa and all that other stuff?
No. Uh-uh. I mean, he hooked it up.
While you were there?
While I was there. And then I had to leave.
And then come back.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. See, this whole thread of, like, how you got to this point is really, this is a light for me. I've known you all these years, and now I'm hearing all of this. And it's coming together, and I love it. So you were in Japan. You were teaching. You and I met, we have the same circle of friends and also not the same circle of friends, because you are a house DJ. I love Baltimore club music, so we would DJ together. Could be the same song, but completely different style. I love it. Together we are Shuck and Jive. That's what we used to call ourselves when we DJ, because we wanted a funny DJ name. It was like, what are we going to put on the flyer? Shuck and Jive.
That works.
You have been there through so much in all of my life in Japan. You helped me with everything. I can't even, you came over and made sure I was awake while I was getting my master's. Like, I'll never forget that. You helped me move. You just, it's such a blessing just to have you. And I love you so much. And I'm so happy that we are still friends. And we are now here in LA, even doing this interview. But you and I traveled together to Singapore. Was that your first time in Singapore?
No.
That was my first time, and I loved it, and we had so much fun, and I've always said I'm going to move back to Southeast Asia with you, so we are still trying to work on that goal to live in Southeast Asia. Before we get to your current, what you're doing in all of Asia and also California, can you run us through, let's try to make this as easy as possible, the countries that you've been to, or the cities? I don't even know. Which is easiest for you? The countries, or how about we do it by house party? Because house music party, you've been to Ibiza, you've been to, like, yes.
Because usually, if I pick somewhere to go, it's because it's the music.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Iceland was the secret solstice party. That was 2015. I only remember that because it's on a T-shirt.
I still have the T-shirt. I wear the T-shirt on this day.
That was a good party. It was Wu-Tang Clan. It was a. Busta Rhymes, he wasn't even supposed to be there. He just came out of nowhere, like surprise guest.
Like his voice, like surprise hype man. Exactly. Like he always bust on the track, he just popped up on stage in Iceland.
Kate, So it was them, a lot of house music DJs. Kink was the favorite. Moody Man was there, Detroit Swindle. Yeah, it was cool. So yeah, and it was in summertime, the solstice, so it was like no nighttime. It was like 3 hours of straight daylight. So people just walk around like zombies.
You mean 3 days right
there? Yeah, like no nighttime at all.
Man.
So is that, and plus they had the like the locations for the Game of Thrones, so they had the tour for that. So
I forgot that was way back then.
Yeah.
And you're the reason why, like, you're the one who really brought me into the house music side, because even though Baltimore Club comes from house music, I got attached to Baltimore Club only and would only dabble in the house music that was kind of soulful around that.
Yeah, so
but nothing deeper. Right. Yeah, nothing deeper than that. You and Michaela were die hard and would go to all the events, and I would have so much fun there with y'all and seeing you guys dance and snap out. And that time when Mark, was it DJ Autonomate?
He's still there.
I'll never forget that time he pulled out the baby powder and put it on the floor. I was like, this is some real house shit, and this is hilarious.
He still do it, yeah. He still break out the baby powder every now and then.
Those are my favorite memories is with y'all over there. Oh, tell us about the DJs that you brought over to Japan, like in the house.
Let's see. So there's Lars Behrenroth. He does the Deeper Shades of House. And let's see, Andy Vass. So that was the most recent one. So we used to have parties with him as part of Chosugai in Tokyo. So he was already coming over.
But yeah, Chosugai is your crew.
Yeah. But recently I sent him over to Korea too. So it looks like that's going to start being a thing where I just kind of send DJs and entertainers to different parts of Asia. So we'll see how that goes. So also.
You also DJ with Black Milk, Black Coffee. Coffee.
I did. Black Coffee. Yeah.
Black Coffee. I did not forget about that because that was fun.
Yeah. So yeah, him and Jovan from New Jersey. Yeah, him. Who else? DJ Akmael. So he was the most recent one before I left Japan, and he's from Virginia, deep house DJ. A couple others. Oh, a dude from Iceland too. Intro Beats too. Yeah, him. And somebody else, but I can't remember who. I don't know. It's all a big blur.
Look how this man from Cleveland ended up into Japan. It's just like an epicenter for house music. Just your travels are amazing. So you've been to Iceland. You've been to Ibiza. You've been to Amsterdam.
Spain. Running of the Bulls.
But see, that wasn't for the house music. This was just interesting.
But I went to Ibiza.
You went to Ibiza, and then you went over to Spain to do the Running of the Bulls.
Yeah.
Let me talk about his type of adventures. forget the house music travels. Yes, you get the Running of the Bulls in the tomato fight. But what in the tomato fight? Would I tell everybody? You are the only person I know that has been to North Korea as a tourist, let alone a black man in North Korea. Yeah. Please tell everyone how North Korea was.
Yo, that place is fun. I mean, I had a great time there. I don't know about anybody else. I don't know about the people living there. But shit, that place is fun. Somewhere there's a picture of me in a North Korean wedding. Yeah. I almost didn't make it out because it's the... I can't tell you the story. Turn the tape off.
That has to be off the record. Dang, yo, I'm serious. He had a ball in Korea. And you told me how you almost didn't get your iPad in. Not your iPad. You had the original iPod. You couldn't get in because they've never seen it before.
That and that damn X-Men movie. Because they thought I was telling them about the movie that I saw, Wolverine. And they was like, just the last movie I saw. Yeah, I saw Wolverine. And it was like, what's that about? That's the thing about North Korea. Every time you tell them something, always one question, you answer one question leads to another question. So it was like, mutant? What's a mutant? Oh, you know, it's like these people with powers. And like, what kind of powers? Well, you know, it just depends. They're born with different powers. Like, and this is real? No, it's just a movie. No, it's just a movie. No, we don't really have that in America. I was like, no. And they always thought I was lying. So I'm sitting there in this restaurant. And that's the other thing. Everybody's got a gun, too. So I'm sitting in a restaurant telling them about damn X-Men. And this one dude is like, oh, you're lying. Yeah, Americans have powers. They're trying to take over. I'm like, no, man, it's just a movie, man. Chill. They're like, no.
What type of gun do you have?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Old rifles, I assume.
Well, yeah, they got those, too. But the people... they assign with you. They're supposed to be like tour guides, but they really, they call them bodyguards, but they really like to keep you in check.
Right.
So my man,
you're not stealing posters off walls.
Yeah, I don't know what's that about. I mean, you just buy one. I mean, what you got to steal one for?
This guy.
Yeah. So yeah, he kept.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So he kept one in the, glove compartment, one on his hip. And that's the thing. I don't know why they got all these damn guns. I mean, they always... technically, they are in a state of war.
Always.
Yeah.
They haven't stopped.
Yeah. So, you know, they always on deck just in case some shit pop off.
Right.
But, yeah, everybody's got a gun. But I had a great time there. I went to a couple festivals. I went to that damn... I forgot the name of it. Some gymnastic festival where they just get buck wild and... start.
Is that the ones with the paper flipping in the stadium?
Yeah. It was getting buck wild, yeah.
But you were saying that you had to get permission to take pictures of anything there?
Yeah, they don't mess around with that. Yeah, they tell you what to take pictures of, what direction to face. You gotta always give up respect to the dear leader. And this was before the current leader was there. I was back in there when Kim Jong-un was making shit happen. Yeah, but it was cool. I had a great time.
And I remember you left me with your passport in your apartment key and was like, if anything happens to me, tell my mama. Because we know they ain't coming to get you out.
You
had to go through China to get there.
Yeah, I had to go to Beijing.
And you were saying the main thing was they hate Japan and they hate America.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're an American from Japan.
Yeah, they ain't like that shit. Yeah, at all. Yeah. They're like, why are you living in Japan?
But one thing that I found hilarious was you said their agenda is to unite North and South Korea.
Yeah, that's all about that. Everything, their whole motivation is to unite North and South Korea. Even the movies that they come out with, it's all about, everything, yeah. But the thing is, whatever, I mean, the South Koreans, they got their iPhones and all that.
K-pop.
They ain't going back.
They gonna have to come forward because they ain't going back.
Exactly. That's the only way it's gonna happen.
I always want people to talk to you about going to North Korea because no one believes me when I say, yo, he went to visit on a trip. So China's just cool with them. They got tours going through. So you can get there. If anybody's interested, you can get to North Korea from China or Russia. Just don't be over there trying to be stupid and do things that'll get you killed.
Through there now, too. Yeah, it ain't that big of a deal. But, yeah, back then, I think it was just me and one other nigga over there. And he was living there. He was the cook. Ethiopian dude for Kim Jong-un, yeah.
Wow.
So that was real easy to find if I did get lost or something, so.
What are other places that you do want to visit that you haven't been to? Because I feel like you've been everywhere. Have you been to Egypt? Have you seen the pyramids? Have you been to the rainforest? What is missing?
I only go if they got a good music festival going on. That's the only thing I'm... Like, Amsterdam's next just because they got ADE, the Amsterdam... music exhibition or expo, so I'll go to that.
So you're driven by house music, so you could be one of these people that travel based off of a particular topic. You don't even have to, you know, go that deep and want to see everything. You too can pick a hobby or something you like and just travel for that specific reason for the rest of your life. You being such an amazing man that just gets up and goes, what kind of advice would you even give to somebody that wants to follow that path but feels like they're stuck in the country that they're in or the city that they're in? What can you tell them to do?
Buy a ticket. Shit, ain't that hard. Shit. Just get a ticket and go. I mean, you know, it ain't that big of a deal. Get your passport. Get your mind right. Just go. Shit. Ain't that hard. Tickets are cheap now. They can go any, damn near anywhere. Pretty soon you'll be able to go to the moon. Shit. Damn. Let's go.
But you've always had a really positive attitude about everything, and I love it. Like, nothing bothers you. Nothing's a problem or a hurdle, or at least you've never seen that way when I was around you. Is there anything that you ran into traveling that was a difficult moment?
I mean, nothing I couldn't get out of, you know. I mean,
like, you never got hemmed up by the police or Interpol?
Oh, yeah. I mean, North Korea, for one. I mean, I didn't think I was going to make it out of there. Just because as soon as I got there, they hemmed me up because of that whole iPod thing. They thought it was a listening device. Tried to tell them you listen to music, not listen to other people. I'm like,
not listen to spy. Yeah, that's exactly what they were trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm like, no, not a listening device. Just listen to music. They're like, no. And also, they was like, they supposed to meet you at the airport. This motherfucker stood me up.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm in North Korea, waiting by myself. Sun about to go down. I look out the corner of my eye. These motherfuckers are in the corner laughing at me. I'm like, come on.
Set up.
Yeah. I'm like, come on now. That ain't cool.
Now, is that one of the scariest travel moments that you've ever experienced? Or do you have any other story that was frightening?
Well, running to the bulls when that motherfucker got gored next to me. That was
tell us, what is that like? Please tell us. You do wear all white?
Yeah.
And I forgot you did the diaper ice thing. Was that Hokkaido? Yo, you got stories for days. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's go to the running of the bulls.
I mean, old boy, he tried to, like, run with the bulls. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to get out the way. You hear him coming. You see him coming.
Jump over the little wall or something?
Well, for me, I jumped on the wall like Spider-Man. As soon as I heard that rumble, I was like, shit. They ain't getting me. They gonna have to work to get me.
What does it sound like?
It sound like death is coming for you. You want to talk about some scary shit. Some people get scared when they hear sirens. Mm-hmm. You ain't heard nothing till you hear like a 15 big ass bull balls coming out of you.
Do they grunt or howl? Like, what is that moment? And you're not near them because you're in a crowd of people, so you might be in the middle, you might be in the front.
I'm ahead, but they come fast. They come fast and they come hard, like a lawnmower. People are scattering. And this one fool, he tried to pet one. That's his problem. He's all, I'm a pet one. You know, maybe he's trying to get a photo op or some shit. They ran his, it looked like he was in a washing machine. it was just horrible. And what made it so bad was, after the bull run, everybody goes to like different bars and they replay everything. So they just kept someone to school all day just getting wrecked. It was so horrible.
Did he live?
Yeah, he lived, but he probably wished he hadn't. They carried his ass out with the neck brace.
I swear I've been living vicariously through you for years. You are so funny.
The Naked Man Festival. Yeah, I forgot about that.
In Hokkaido, right? It's in northern Japan?
No, it was
somewhere cold.
I want to say Okayama. I think that was it.
Okayama? It was winter time.
Yeah, it was cold as hell. It was in January, and it was cold. But once you get in that crowd, and niggas start beating on you.
Tell them what the purpose of it is and how you participate.
So the purpose is...
He's sitting here with tears running down his eyes because he is crying. He's laughing so hard. That is our mission, because we literally just laugh and go out to eat and have a good time. And I always said we were going to die together at a table because we choked to death, laughing and trying to eat at the same time.
Today
could be that day. We're going to get some tacos and do that. Okay, tell us about the Naked Man and why you went.
I don't remember why. Oh, you know what? Because it was a $10,000 prize. That's why I went. So I figured, this is a bunch of Japanese dudes. Oh, yeah, I I'm in good shape. I'm in decent shape. I can go up there and get some money. And, you know, it's just something to do. So what they do is, it's one of the coldest days of the year. Everybody meets up at this big temple. And you wear only, like, the fundoshi, which is, like, the Japanese diaper that the sumo wrestlers wear. They meet up in this temple. They cut the lights off. They drop this totem, something, like this big stick. And whoever gets the stick at the end, they get good luck for the rest of the year and $10,000. So most of these Japanese people is fighting for the good luck for the rest of the year. I'm like, nah, the hell, Dad, I could use $10,000 and I'll knock somebody out for it. So I'm down. Now, here's the shit they don't tell you. What this festival actually is like an excuse for the Yakuza rival gangs to get together and beat the shit out of each other. They don't tell you that. Yeah, exactly. They don't tell you that. You don't learn that until you get on the dance floor and they start beating the shit out of each other. Like, for real. It ain't no friendly competition. Ooh. They don't care about no sticks. They don't care about no $10,000. They going at it like Crips and Bloods. So, most of the time I was there, just keeping people from getting their ass beat, because I just felt so bad for them. Like, all these old men just beat the hell out of each other. There's blood everywhere. I'm like, well, what's going on? Hey, why y'all got, what's all this hate for? So I'm just going in, just breaking up fights, keeping old people from dying.
You never told me.
Yeah.
I thought you guys got in water or something.
No. But they pour water on you.
In this freezing
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You didn't get sick or anything?
No. I was, because you got the adrenaline pumping. You don't even get cold because all these niggas beating up on you and all that body heat.
How long did this last?
I don't even remember. It was like I want to say it was like a good 2 hours. Yeah, it was going at it. I didn't even stay the whole time because I was like, enough of this shit. These people got major grudges, issues they got to work out.
Mike has stories 4 days. I don't even know what else to ask you. Like, because what else have you experienced? So much. Oh, man. We know that you are a house music fan. What are some of your favorites that you would recommend for other people to listen to during their journeys or traveling or commutes or when they're beating up Yakuza with a diaper on?
Well, definitely Louis Vega. I think he's hitting his apex now. I mean, he's always been on the scene anyway with Masters at Work, but yeah, now I saw him in Greece recently. Now he's like making like some life-changing stuff. So get hip to him. Josh Milan, definitely. He should be winning every Grammy ever from this point on, because that's how good he is. Kink, my man from Croatia. I think he's from Croatia. Or, no, he's from Serbia, I think. I saw him in Iceland for the first time. I was already hip to him. I saw him in Iceland performing live. He's also doing some life-changing shit. Let's see. Demure from Toronto.
He always comes to Tokyo, doesn't
he? No, I don't think he's been to Tokyo yet. Yeah. But he's good, too. He's old school cat. Yeah, but Demure from Toronto, he's good. I'm liking him for a while now. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, any kind of house music, you can't go wrong. Just stay away from that bullshit, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
That shit you be listening to.
You leave me alone. I mean, you have... I just came back from Greece. I don't know if y'all heard that right there. Yes. We have Greece. We have Spain. We have Amsterdam. Have you been to France?
No.
Have you been anywhere on the continent of Africa?
Yeah. Where did I go?
Did you go to Morocco?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
When?
I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe 2016 or 17.
And do you have a travel schedule? Like, are you a person who's like, okay, I'm going this month every year, or this? How do you even figure out when you're going?
Whenever the festivals are, whatever, if somebody I want to see.
Music led.
Yeah, exactly. If there's a good festival going on, I'll hit it. If there's a good club that's opening or they got a good DJ coming, I'll hit it. So I want to go to Paris because they got Rex Club there, but I just ain't had a chance to get there yet. But I'm going to get there eventually.
And you took me to Zouk in Singapore.
Yeah.
And you're currently living in Malaysia/Singapore. And you're saying that house music doesn't even have a scene there. That's crazy.
Nah, I mean, it's growing. But right now, EDM is, like, taking over the world right now. But, you know, people like me and like-minded people like me, we fighting it. tooth and nail, us versus EDM. So we gonna win. We gonna conquer. Yeah.
Well, what is your goal? It's your birthday. You are out here covering all of Asia. Is there anywhere else that you want to live, or maybe at least visit, that you haven't coming up?
Nah, I mean, from this point on, anywhere else I hit is like a bonus. I ain't trying to.
Because again, you're driven by music festivals versus I want to go see this place or mark something off.
Yeah. Pretty much, I've seen enough. You know, if I kick it right now, I'm cool with that shit. I've seen enough.
Speaking of you and I, thank you again. You helped bring George Clinton to Abe's store that day. I will not forget about that moment.
I almost put his eye out that day.
When? Whose eyeball? It was raining. You hold an umbrella. You almost took George Clinton's eyeball out.
No, not George.
Abe's. You almost took Abe's eye out.
No.
George's eye. Yeah, don't take George's eye out. So he's done touring, right? This is his final, his finale year. He's trying to.
Old man, he'd sit his ass down.
You and I went to see him at Billboard, and that was the best live Japanese audience I ever seen in my life, and everybody was 60 years and older.
Yeah.
That is a memory I will always keep. And then bring him to the store.
Did we see Chaka Khan together too?
No, I never seen Chaka. You went to see Chaka. I don't know. But I didn't get to see Chaka.
But we did go. Who did we go? It was your birthday. DJ Premier. That's what we saw.
Premier. And we went to go. Well, did we go see Roy Ayers? Did we see that together?
No, I wanted to see
Roy.
I said I wanted. Yeah, maybe you went. But I said, let's go see him before he dies.
Okay. Let's go see him before he dies. And also, I'll never forget our flyer. Was it Do It At Home? Do It At The Halloween Party? There was a campaign on Japanese on Tokyo trains that would tell you etiquette, what to do, different places, and one of them was Do It At Home, which meant your makeup. For some reason, that's rude, they think, for women to make up on the train. So we took the entire concept and turned it into a flyer for a Halloween party, and people were dressed up in costumes.
What they were saying was the way that foreigners be acting,
do it at home. Well, that was the particular Halloween one. But you know there's like multiple posters don't do this shit right here in Japan. Yeah.
So. But now it's worse.
They're acting up.
Now they're like, go home.
Yeah. See? They're like, all y'all get out of our country. Just go home. Yeah. Just get out. Yeah. Well, I love you, and I know we have stories for days, and we are definitely gonna have to do a follow-up. But thank you so much for doing this season finale of Traveling Grace and Mercy for season one. You are definitely one of the main people I wanted to interview because you've known me you've literally known me my entire Japanese life and beyond, and here we are, and we still have a lot more traveling to do. We have a lot more caramel butter popcorn buckets to eat.
Sure. Yeah, that pair set.
My grandmom still laughs at us because we will go to the movie theater and buy a bucket of popcorn and sit in the lobby and eat it and not go to the movies. Like, I mean, we are big movie heads, and well, you know, I like the 4D theaters. And you know, I like to bother you because you've already watched the movie. So I'll just sit with him and ask a bunch of questions throughout the movies that he hates. Right. So he has to see it first before I go with him. But I love him so much, man. I don't even know what I'm missing. But this is very cool to be sitting with you in LA at the Standard after being with you most of my adult life in Japan. And here we are, and we have much more. So happy birthday. To many more years, you're not leaving before me. Thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, but...
Keep yourself alive, please, in Southeast Asia.
I'll try.
No dengue fever and no four floors of horse.
Yeah, you know, these hoes ain't making it easy, but... cut that part out.
Any last-minute travel tips to the people or to the children?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just watch your back no matter where you go, you know.
Protect your neck.
Protect your neck, of course, yeah. You know, don't eat yellow snow, and, you know, just keep on keeping it real.
Yeah.
Just buy a ticket and go, that's all. I mean, don't think too hard about it. Just go and try to have a good time, you know. That's it.
Well, from my journey to yours, I hope all of your travels are blessed. Make sure you check travelgracemercy.com. Also on Instagram at travelgracemercy for updates. And I'm looking forward to season two. I haven't even thought about the format, how I'm going to do it. If I'm still going to do interviews, if I'm going to do it this style where it's kind of live action. I don't know if I want to bring out video cameras or not. I don't want to because I don't feel like being on camera. But... I'm not sure, but I'm definitely going to catch you again. I will be doing follow-up episodes. and follow the social medias so you can catch up with all the people, all of the previous interviews, share with friends, like with friends. It's also on Facebook, but I don't really do anything particular with the Facebook page as of yet. So just hit me, Instagram, and you can listen on all your favorite podcasting apps, Traveling Grace and Mercy. And it has been a pleasure. And it has been a great year, I must say. I'm very happy.
I agree. Hey, any year you still live alive is a good year. So.
Say it again.
Any year you still on the planet is a good year, I suppose. So, you know.
Amen. And happy birthday on Tanjovi Omedetou Gozaimasu.